You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. It's all O's all the time. As always, I am your host, Justin McGuire. I'm a veteran baseball journalist who spent 8 years as a senior editor at Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. I do another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book, and you should check that one out as well. And most importantly, I am a lifelong Orioles fan. Well, guys, we've reached kind of the doldrums of the season. The Orioles are, of course, well out of contention. They aren't playing for anything the rest of the year, except maybe trying to get that number one pick in the 2019 MLB draft. We're past the point where all the interesting off-field stuff has happened, with the trade deadline passing us. So going forward, I'm interested in knowing what you, as the listeners, want to hear about. So drop me a line at lockedonorioles@gmail.com and let me know what topics you'd like me to address the rest of the year. You can suggest guests, you can suggest things to talk about, suggest historic things we can talk about, funny things we can talk about. Honestly, anything to avoid talking about the 2018 Orioles, if I'm being perfectly frank. But in all seriousness, there are some things left to talk about with the 2018 Orioles, and one of those is Trey Mancini and what his role on the team is going to be going forward. To talk about that, we are joined today by Tyler Young, who writes for Camden Chat. He had a recent article about Mancini at Camden Chat. You can check that out at camdenchat.com and check out Tyler's other articles there as well. We'll get to the interview with Tyler Young in just a second. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to lockedonsports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to lockedonorioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now again by Tyler Young. He writes for Camden Chat. He's been on the podcast before. Tyler, the reason I asked you to come on today was you wrote an article recently for Camden Chat about Trey Mancini. And I think it was a really interesting article, and it brings up a really interesting point because Mancini is kind of the odd man out in all this. You know, he is a guy, he's a second-year player, still years away from free agency. But unlike a lot of the more established players on the Orioles, he wasn't traded. He is not a youngster who's trying to prove himself. He's been in the major leagues for a year and a half now. So he kind of doesn't really fit with, I think the way you put it was, there's either unproven youngsters or veterans who are just taking up space for now. He doesn't really fit into either of those categories. So I guess the main question is, what do you think Trey Mancini's future is on the Orioles? Does he fit into this rebuild?
I mean, it kind of depends because we haven't really gotten the opportunity to see exactly what Trey Mancini is just yet because he's had a tough year all over this year, but you know, you can look back to his rookie year and, you know, there are some things he did with the bat that are really impressive and he shows glimpses of that still, but at the same time, they've got him playing in left field when, you know, whether you believe the metrics or you believe just your own eyes, you can tell he's not a left fielder. And you've seen that with players, all over the league that if they're not really comfortable in the field, it can start to affect them on the offensive side of the ball too. And I think maybe we're seeing that with Trey where he's got to think a little bit too much in the outfield, whereas if you just put him at DH or first base, he can maybe, you know, not even think about the defensive side and just focus on his hitting. It's tough to say where Trey fits in. He's got about, I think he's got 4 full seasons left before he hits free agency. So, you know, if you believe sort of the year that they've been talking about is 2021 for putting a competitive team back on the field, we could still have Trey Mancini as, a component of that team. But I think we still have to find out whether he's, you know, a role player or maybe a little bit more than that. And hopefully we can find that out in this next season plus hopefully him playing not left field any longer.
Like you pointed out, he's terrible in left field. I mean, the metrics tell us that. Like you said, our eyes tell us that. It's pretty clear that he's not meant to be an outfielder. This guy's a first baseman or a DH. And while, as you point out in the article, the sample size is small for his at-bats as a first baseman, he is significantly better as a first baseman, as a hitter. I mean, again, the sample size is small enough, we don't necessarily want to draw a lot of broad conclusions from that, but it certainly seems to point in the direction that he's more comfortable as a first baseman. And this brings up a couple of issues that you talk about in the article and that I've talked about many times on this podcast and that Orioles fans are well aware of. And that's that this team has a surplus of first baseman, left fielder, DH types, right? I mean, there's too many guys who kind of fit that category and not enough of spaces for all of them. And of course, the biggest issue here is the Chris Davis contract, which has become such an albatross for the Orioles just because of the money they're spending, because of Davis's lack of production, the fact that he's completely untradeable, and the fact that they insist on playing him every day still, despite the fact that he doesn't seem to be capable of being an everyday player anymore. I think that ultimately that's what's got to give, right? Is they've got to figure out a way to get Mancini at first base and get him some of those at-bats that Davis is getting and find a way maybe not to play Davis as much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I know people have said earlier this season, I've heard people say that he should have been cut already or he should be cut soon. You know, it exacerbates the problem when we have a Danny Valencia, a Mark Trumbo, a Pedro Alvarez, who's not on the 40 man anymore, but he got, you know, a substantial amount of at-bats earlier in the season. You know, and those guys are around when the Orioles are trying to paper over some issues they had around the roster. And I think, you know, this is going to be the last we see of Danny Valencia as an Oriole, and that should be okay. And Pedro Alvarez might be okay being in Norfolk. If not, he's probably done in the Orioles organization. Mark Trumbo, who still has another year under team control, I think he could be the one that if you trade him away, you know, maybe you can still hold on to Davis just because, you know, you're paying him so much money, you know, yeah, you might as well release him. But at the same time, you know, the team's not going anywhere. And if you can trade Trumbo and get something, maybe you can hold on to Chris Davis and just have him at first base or DH or on the bench. And then you have him and Trey to split the at-bats basically between first base and DH. And then you open up some opportunities for some young guys to come up. So, you know, Davis, I'm not so sure. I understand what some people are saying about releasing him. I think maybe you hold on to him through this offseason and into next season, see what's going on. If it's still as pathetic as it has been for most of the year, then at some point next year, I think you maybe make the call. But I don't think you can no longer view Chris Davis as the preferred first base option over Trey Mancini. He's done nothing to prove that he is capable of playing over Trey Mancini. So if there's a decision to be made, it would, for me, first be to move Chris Davis to the bench, possibly DH if you can't nobody else to play there. And then if it continues to be bad, move on from Chris Davis. He seems like a nice guy, but he's just not getting it done on the field, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it seems like the Orioles are really falling into, you know, the sunken cost fallacy here where they believe they're paying him so much money they have to play him, despite the fact that he's not shown himself capable of being a regular Major League Baseball player anymore. I'm not sure he's shown himself capable of being a part-time Major League Baseball player anymore, but in any case, he certainly hasn't done anything to prove he belongs in a starting lineup every day, like you said. And again, and then the other issue is, of course, if you move Mancini out of left field, that does open up a lot of possibilities because one thing we know about this team is that there's a heavy proportion of the prospects are outfielders or people who may end up in the outfield eventually, like Ryan Mountcastle. So, right, so we've got, you know, Mullins and Hayes and McKenna and Diaz. All these guys are outfielders. Mountcastle may be an outfielder. You know, we got DJ Stewart, who maybe at some point they're going to want to see how he can play. And all the you got to find room for all of them in the outfield. You know, not to mention Adam Jones, who's still on the roster, but he presumably will be gone after this year. So they really do need to find some spots in the outfield. And getting Mancini to first base would be a huge part of that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, to your point also, if they're not outfielders, you know, like I've heard Mountcastle mention as possibly a first baseman if there's no room in the outfield or if he can't handle outfield, you know. So it's something where these young guys are coming up and a lot of them are at the higher minors too. Everybody you mentioned, I think, is at AA or above AA. So, you know, maybe they're not ready just yet for Baltimore, but they're going to be ready for Baltimore or as close as they're going to get in the next year or so by next September. So it's one of those things where you've got to move guys around and Trey Mancini, you know, we got to find out what he really is and you move him to first base to get the best idea of him. If you look at, he's okay, but he's not really in our future plans as our starting first baseman when the Orioles are good again, maybe he becomes a trade chip who, you know, with at that point, maybe 3+ years of control, he becomes somewhat valuable. Granted, he might be more of a one-dimensional player, but even still his years of control might make him something valuable in the trade market. But yeah, you're right. We've got to make room for these young guys because the Orioles have made it obvious that that is the plan, is to go young, to cut salary, to find out what we've got in the minor leagues and continue to build there. And right now, you just got to do it. There's no more time to waffle around and get these guys that paper over the holes we had. But You just got to find out what we got in Trey Mancini and find out what the young guys are capable of. And it's the perfect opportunity to do that.
Well, like you said, the key to this all may be whether Mark Trumbo is tradable in the offseason. Do you think he is? I mean, we know he's been, as a hitter, he's been obviously extremely inconsistent. There's times when he goes on these tears where he hits a lot of homers. There's other times when he's just terrible. Overall, I think the picture is of a fairly one-dimensional player, but still that one dimension is something that has some value. He can hit a lot of homers. What do you think his trade value may be in the offseason?
He's an interesting one because if you look at his splits, he obviously is not a good fielder, but he hits significantly better when he plays in the field. I know he had the two home runs over the weekend when he was DHing, but in general, he hits much better when he's in the field. It's just when he's in the field, he'll kick the ball around a bunch usually. I think he does have value. I've heard people mention the Colorado Rockies as a potential fit just because of his power. And you go to Colorado, just like Mark Reynolds kind of did, you sort of revitalize your career a little bit, hit some home runs there. I don't think it's a huge trade value or trade market for him, because at the end of the day, I think he still is more attractive. Even if you look at his splits, he's still more attracted to an AL club because you can put him at DH and he'll probably be fine there. If not, not spectacular. I think he might be the case where the Orioles have to pick between salary relief and maybe a mediocre prospect they're kind of intrigued by. I don't think you're going to see a team give up a whole lot and also eat his contract, which I think for next year is only about $13.5 million. So it's not ridiculous. But I think the Orioles might just have to get to the point where they're happy with getting rid of Mark Trumbo's contract and taking on a mediocre prospect, or just eat that salary. If they eat the salary, I think there's going to be a lot more teams interested. But, that's something that still needs to be determined. I don't have a list in my mind of who's available or who would be in for a first base type. But I know, like I said, the Rockies are one that at least makes sense on paper, even though they are in the NL, and that would force us to see Mark Trumbo's glove on a regular basis. But I think that could be a potential fit because I think they've had some trouble in the outfield this year, at least offensively. I know they've got Ian Desmond kicking around. I think they have Carlos Gonzalez, who's past his prime. And I know the Rockies are still sort of in that window where they want to win and win soon with Nolan Arenado approaching free agency. So that could be a potential fit.
And, of course, that brings up the question that kind of it seems to come up in every episode, and I know it's come up in writings that you and other people have done, but that comes up, the question of who's actually going to be making that decision of whether to try to trade Trumbo or not. I mean, we know that Dan Duquette certainly seemed to be the guy in charge of all these trade deadline deals that the Orioles made. He was the public face of them anyway. He's the one who talked about them. He's the one who, again, seems to have been driving the car, at least for, at least that's what the Orioles want us to think, I guess, whether there's it's exactly true or not, I don't know. I suspect that it is true, but we know his contract's up at the end of the year. I saw something just today of some speculation that maybe the Mets might be interested in him and signing him when he's available.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think's the future of the front office? Is Duquette going to be there and making those decisions about Trumbo and Mancini and everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, it's not too much coming out on that, which sort of makes me think he's not going to be around. Just because I feel like by now we would have heard some rumors, at least, that they're working towards discussions on a contract extension or something. It doesn't seem to be heading that way. I saw the same report you did about the New York Mets being a possible fit for him. And, I'm sure there are some sort of strained relations with Dan Duquette from a couple of seasons ago when he tried to bolt for Toronto to get become their president of baseball operations or their Toronto Blue Jays president. So to me, it seems like it might be sort of similar to what the Phillies did a couple years ago where they let their GM at the time trade away all their big assets, and then they canned him in the offseason and brought in their current leadership group, which, that's worked out pretty well for them. They're looking likely to make the playoffs this year. So to me, it doesn't seem like Dan Duquette's going to be back after this season. That could always change. Like they just say, it's a fluid situation, of course. But at this point, a lot of the big moves have been made, and there's still not talk of him for sure coming back next season. That leads me to believe he'll be gone. I don't know who they're going to use to replace him, but it's not sounding good for Dan Duquette's future in Baltimore as far as everything I've heard.
So that gives the next question then, of course, is the other part of that, which is Buck Showalter, whose contract is also up at the end of the season. Haven't heard much about him either, whether the Orioles are interested in bringing him back, whether he's interested in being back. I think we've seen some speculation that maybe he takes on some sort of front office role. What do you think is going to happen with Buck?
Yeah, that's another tough one, that, you know, Buck's saying all the right things publicly. He seems like he's totally on board with it. I would be okay with Buck Showalter coming back. Not that he's free of blame from this situation. You know, everybody's got, when you're this bad, when you're one of the worst teams in baseball, everybody's to blame. You know, it's tough. I haven't heard anything out there about Buck Showalter either. They're keeping it very mum and very in-house. But the fact that there, again, hasn't been too much talk publicly about him coming back, I think the Orioles might just want to start fresh with a new leadership group in general, bring in a GM or a vice president of baseball operations and let him pick his manager. You know, because while the team had been competitive for a few years, after a while, that message just sort of starts to ring hollow, even though it's going to be, you know, a new group of players in there for the most part. You just want to start something fresh and start something new. And, you know, that seems to be the way to go after 5 or 6 years, teams bring in their new managers. You know, you see, like in Anaheim right now, the Angels are talking about letting Mike Scioscia's deal run out after the end of the year. And, you know, he's been there for 2 decades, and the team won a World Series early on, but they've sort of stagnated ever since then, and they have the best player in the world, possibly, in Mike Trout. So I think, you know, the Orioles got a good run out of Buck Showalter. I wouldn't mind to see him take on another position, maybe in the organization in a front office capacity or some sort of guiding hand thing. But as far as on-field persona, I would like to see the Orioles go in not necessarily like a drastically different way, but just get a new face in there, a new message, and start fresh and begin a new era in Baltimore. Again, I haven't heard anything concrete about that, but my gut tells me, with there being so little talk of rumors or anything, that the Orioles are possibly looking at just starting fresh with a new front office and a new manager in the clubhouse.
One thing, circling back to our original conversation about Mark Trumbo and the glut of outfielders coming up for the Orioles, one question that's been coming up a lot, I've seen it on Twitter, and a lot of fans seem to be really anxious about this, is Cedric Mullins, who seemingly is ready to have a major league tryout. The Orioles haven't brought him up yet. What do you think is going to happen with Mullins? Is he going to get a chance this season? What are we looking at in terms of Mullins and the Orioles?
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure in September, without a doubt, he should be up in some capacity. You know, Adam Jones sort of has presented some challenges there. And, you know, he's fully in his rights, too. As he's mentioned several times, he's got those 10-5 rights. He doesn't have to leave. But then he had those comments on CC Sabathia's podcast about how, you know, yeah, call the guy up, get him some effect. And then in September, I'll move out of center field. You know, in an ideal world, I'd like Cedric Mullins to come up and play center field as soon as he can. So, again, we can find out what he's capable of doing at the major league level. So I think he'll be up, but it sure seems like the Orioles are waiting as long as they can to bring him up. And I don't think it's a service time concern, because we're well past the point in the season where he's going to accumulate enough time to count a full season in the bigs. So I think the Orioles might just be waiting until September, when they can put him in center field and not have to deal with an in time. I'd like to see him up as soon as possible, though. Just get him some at-bats against major league quality pitchers, because if you wait until September, you get sort of into a similar situation as in spring training, when, you know, in spring training you can't really look at the stats too close, because they might be coming against guys that are in AA or AAA or maybe a high A guy that's up for the day. And in September you sort of get into a similar thing where, you know, if the Orioles and the Royals play each other, the Royals are probably going to have a bunch of pitchers up that aren't really major league quality, but they're up anyway. And that happens around the league. Even some playoff teams have guys up that aren't really ready yet. So I'd like to see Cedric Mullins up in August, get a couple of bats in against definite major league quality pitchers, and then play center field. So, but to me, my gut's telling me he's going to not come up until September, because the Orioles don't want to deal with an aggravated Adam Jones, and they don't want Cedric Mullins playing anywhere else other than center field, at least not yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't think this is at all a service time concern, for the reasons you mentioned, and also because the Orioles just don't seem like they've really played that game much. They don't seem to be really concerned about the service time stuff as much as some other teams. I think this is all in deference to Jones, and all in deference to A, not embarrassing him, and B, not having him embarrass the team in some way. You know, I think they want to kind of do it on his terms, just to avoid the public backlash they might get if they handle it wrong. And, you know, honestly, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm with you. I kind of wish that they wouldn't have an opportunity to do this earlier, but it is what it is. And we're, you know, we're already in, you know, into well into August. So it's not going to be that long before he's up if that's the case. So anyway, maybe we'll see Cedric Mullins in September. Tyler, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me on.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.